The Bible reading this morning will be from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. But Joshua said to the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, No, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey.
Thank you, Brother Michael, for that reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, which really concludes the life and the reign of Joshua. And in that chapter, we see great care and pains taken by Joshua to confirm the people of Israel in the true faith and the worship of God, that they might, after his death, remain faithful to Jehovah God. He recounted the great things that God had done for them and their fathers. At the beginning of this chapter, he charged them to serve God, and then by way of a treaty with them, he really aims for them to make serving God their deliberate and determinate choice, with reasons for their choice and a strong resolve to adhere to that choice, that commitment, that way by way of a covenant at the close of the chapter. Thank you for looking at that passage of Scripture, as we will use that as a basis for our lesson today. We want to thank you very much for being in our assembly, for being here to worship God, and we thank you for your interest in spiritual things. May God bless each of you for being here to worship and serve God today. The determination to be a Christian really is the most important decision that a person will make in life. There is not one aspect of life that is not changed when a person decides that he wants to follow Jesus Christ and he wants to serve Jehovah God in this life. Not one aspect of his life would be unaffected by that decision. In our study today, I'd like for us to reemphasize the demands that were made on each of us who are Christians today, in the past when we chose to become Christians, or if you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian and you're contemplating becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, we would call on you to make that right decision while time and opportunity is indeed yours. It may be true that there are two sides to every question, but it's also true that there are two sides to a sheet of flypaper, and it makes a big difference to the fly which side he chooses. Right decisions made in life require a great deal of courage. It is a courageous decision when someone says, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in an assembly of people who hear that good confession. In Judges chapter 7, when Gideon is commanding the army of Israel against the army of the Midianites, we have this recorded for us in the Word of God. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power hath delivered me. Now therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. God used a decision based on courage to accomplish his will and to make a point with his people. To depend upon the strength of God is a very courageous decision. Not counting numbers of people and not relying on numbers of people and the arms that they may have, as in the case of Israel with their military conquest of the land of Canaan. And for us, depending upon the strength of God and trusting God to provide for us, and not depending on outside circumstances of life, number of people who may agree with our decisions to serve God and things of that nature. We are told that God cannot use those who are afraid and trembling, those who are fearful. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8, then the officers shall speak further to the people and say, who is the man that is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his house so that he might not make his brother's hearts melt like his heart. Being fearful, being cowardly, has a way of affecting people around you. Being courageous for God has another way of affecting people around you and instilling them with a like-minded spirit of courage and strength. The selection here was for military service in Israel's army, but it was to fulfill the purposes of God. In the New Testament, the fearful, those who lack faith, will be, in the final analysis, lost. From Revelation 21 and verse 8, where the record says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Right decisions require courage. During World War II, Winston Churchill was forced to make a very painful choice. The British Secret Service had broken the code of the Nazis and informed Churchill that the Germans were going to bomb Coventry. He had two alternatives. He could evacuate Coventry and save hundreds of lives at the expense of indicating to the Germans that the code was broken. Or secondly, he could take no action whatsoever, which would kill hundreds but keep the information flowing and possibly save many more lives. Churchill had to choose, and that choice took courage, and he followed the second course. Right decisions also require of us an intelligent consideration, a thoughtful consideration, using our knowledge and wisdom that we can obtain from God, and we can generate and create appreciation for wisdom in our lives. In Luke 14, beginning in verse 28, Jesus raised a question showing that intelligent consideration is very important, especially when it has to do with making the right choice of serving God. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Or otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, he is not able to finish. And all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, Jesus said, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. He's showing the importance of intelligent consideration beforehand. Think particularly, if you will with determination follow through on your commitment to serve God. Gospel obedience is something that happens not by accident and not by some natural process that automatically comes to one, and it's not something that is made blindly. In the Great Commission, Jesus told his apostles to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and also, in verse 20 of Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. That would require intelligent consideration, wouldn't it? To make that right decision and to follow through, not only to be made a disciple, but to continue faithful to God as a disciple would certainly take some intelligent consideration. Continuing to observe the things that the apostles taught, or abiding in the doctrine of the apostles as the early church did in the book of Acts. It means that we count the cost, and we are willing, certainly, to accept heavy sacrifice for the cause of our Lord. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions is indicative of this cost in being a disciple from Luke 14 and verse 33. God doesn't promise an easy road for making that intelligent consideration, that choice which requires courage. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, but he does say that there will be victory for those who are faithful. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you in prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Every person ultimately decides for himself what is right to follow. And we hope that your decision in following what is right would be based upon what God has said in His Word, in the Bible. Every person ultimately decides for himself to follow what is right. The former president, Ronald Reagan, once had an aunt who took him to a cobbler as a youngster for a pair of new shoes. And the cobbler asked young Reagan, do you want square toes or round toes? And he was unable to decide, so he didn't answer. So the cobbler gave him a few days to think it over and make a decision. Several days later, the cobbler saw Reagan on the street and asked him again, what type of toes do you want in your shoes? Round ones or square ones? Well, Reagan couldn't decide. So the cobbler said, you just come by the shop in a couple of days and your shoes will be ready. So this future president went a few days later to the cobbler's shop to pick up his shoes, and he was presented with a pair of shoes, one with a square toe and one with a round toe. This will teach you to never let people make decisions for you, the cobbler said. I learned right then and there, Reagan said later, if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will. And that's the way things go in this world, isn't it? If we don't decide to follow Jesus Christ, someone else will influence us to make a decision, some other type of decision, that may lead to our ruin and our demise. Right decisions require a great deal of courage. And right decisions require intelligent consideration. Right decisions also impose moral obligations, as we've seen clearly from the text that we looked at, that was read for us by our brother. A pledge to serve God is really invalid if we keep our idols. Joshua told these people, put away those gods. Put away those idols. Put them out of your heart. Get rid of them in your material possessions. In Joshua 24 and verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Because Jehovah is a holy God, He is a jealous God. In verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you hold on to your idols, is the idea. Therefore, put away the foreign gods from among you. Put away any that would rival for your affection. Put away any that would rival for your affection. Incline your heart to Jehovah and hear Him in verse 23. Put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. In Joshua 24 and verse 3, part of our text. Furthermore, in that chapter, the record says this, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us. For it has heard all of the words of the Lord which He spoke to us. Thus, it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. The words of Eleanor Roosevelt ring true here, I think. One's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die, and the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. Well-chosen words, I think, from a first lady, don't you? Right decisions are also made wholeheartedly. In Luke 9, beginning in verse 57, as they were going along the road, some said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Neither material considerations nor earthly obligations are to be first. A wholehearted decision with the full heart to serve God is to be before every other thing. And it doesn't take much of a man to make that decision. It takes all of a man. It takes all that a man is to make that type of decision to serve Jesus Christ. He doesn't want those who look back. Such are not fit or suited for the kingdom of God. Decision to serve Christ is one that should be a long-term decision. A decision for all time. I think by the simple points that we have seen from this text in the book of Joshua this morning, we have been able to see that making right decisions requires a great deal of courage. And it requires that we use the intelligence that God gave us to use. It requires that we realize that there will be obligations that are imposed upon us as responsible people. And we make those decisions wholeheartedly. With our whole heart, we want to serve God. We don't want it to be veneer. We don't want it to be put on. We want it to be genuine. It requires mature judgment. Right decisions are made in that way. And it's not a children's game. If you are a young person and you are contemplating, because you are learning about Jesus Christ, and you're contemplating and you're thinking about, am I ready to be a Christian? Please talk to your parents about that. Discuss with them. They will be happy to discuss with you where you are in your decision process and if you are ready to make the kind of commitment needed to be a Christian. We shouldn't be rushed by unreasoned emotion. We shouldn't make a decision as important as that based upon an influence from someone else or our family or our business or our social considerations if that's not genuinely what we believe and what we want to do with our lives. Yet despite the cost, it is the best and greatest decision of a person's life. It has to do with our eternal destiny. It has to do with the soul that God has entrusted to our care. Many disciples, when realizing that there was a great responsibility involved in following the Lord, turned away and followed Him no more. Many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. In John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 66, so Jesus said to the 12, his special closest disciples, He says to them, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's the source of eternal life. That's Jesus Christ. Peter said, "We have believed and come to know that You are the Holy One of God." The identification of who that is clear for us when we read God's Word. It's there for us too. C.S. Lewis has this timely quote, "When the author walks onto the stage, the play is over. God is going to invade, all right. But what is good of saying you are on His side then when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else comes crashing in? This time it will be God without disguise, something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. It will be the time when we discover which side we really have chosen, whether we realize it before or not. Now, today, this moment, is our chance to choose the right side." Now, what about you today? Have you chosen the right side? And by the right side, I mean Jehovah God's side. I mean the side of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. Have you chosen that side? What about you this morning, this very morning? Can we help you with your decision? We are here for you to hear your confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That will let us know that belief is truly in your heart. Will you be willing to repent of the sins in your life that you've become aware of, that are offensive to God, that stand as a barrier between you and God? You can have those removed if you will repent of those. If you will be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, washing away your sins, as Acts 2 and verse 38 and Acts 22 and verse 16 clearly show. Peter said, baptism also now saves us. And we can lift you out of that watery grave of baptism, and your sins are washed away, and you will walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 clearly shows that to be the case. Can we help you with that decision today? That courageous decision. That intelligent decision. That decision that requires a wholehearted decision on your part. Yes, it imposes obligations, but you can do it. You have a lot of helpers in this very assembly. Can we help you today? We'd love to do that. And if we can, please come and let us know while we stand and admonish you in the singing of this song.